Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Beth Serdut. We're going to be talking to Billy Blair of the Santa Fe Community Foundation, and we're going to be talking about the new play that's being performed, The Rabbit Hole. But
that
first,
sounds like a big show.
But first, I have some very good news. In fact, Al Dearman, you've got some very good news.
I do. I'm here with Cindy Scullin, who's been my partner in the morning during the fun drive.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Hi,
thanks
Cindy.
For that music. Your theme music is dancing in the street music.
And
yes,
we are dancing. We're dancing in the studios right now because we had a generous benefactor end the fun drive for us in the
amazing.
Last hour.
It
is amazing. It's about an $8,000 contribution, and that is just, whoa, baby. And the idea was to offer, as a thank you gift, the naming rights to the newsroom.
Isn't that
something?
Is this donor going to name it after him or herself, or will it perhaps be called the Noam Chomsky Newsroom? Or
well, that's why I'm not revealing who it is yet, because that's still unclear.
Okay.
There are some options, but it's very exciting, and we're so appreciative of that. And that was the big idea of the morning. I have to say I was
fabulous.
A little skeptical, but man,
well,
breathless.
Has anyone said Cindy is a genius yet?
No.
I think I mentioned that. Well, I said it to her quietly. Yeah.
What was really great was that it was Democracy Now! In the BBC, and we all, everybody here appreciates how much importance lies in having unfiltered, uncensored news, and to have the newsroom named on behalf of somebody who's really important in a listener's life is just fantastic. I mean,
Bill was a little nervous that it might be the Pete Domenici newsroom. Or I'm kidding.
John Greenspan, are you listening?
I'm kidding. But it's great. And we're so thankful to everybody, large contributor and small contributors. That's an important point.
Yeah, Mary Charlotte, we've had $1 contributions come in early in the morning, which was fantastic.
You know what? Every dollar counts.
It does.
The era in which we're living. And not only does it count for us, but it counts for you, the listener, because that means you can be counted and you are part of the greater KSFR community. And we are so grateful to all of the people who did contribute to this fun drive. And for those of you who didn't and have this sort of nagging, abiding itch to contribute that has not yet been fulfilled, that fulfillment may occur via this thing called the internet. And so you go to ksfr.org and there's a little thing that says Pledge Now. You hit it, and if 2 months from now you're listening to this show or any show on KSFR and say, boy, you know, I wish I'd contributed, you still can. You can even do it today.
Brilliant.
So it is always
There's
ongoing.
Always the opportunity for redemption.
There's always the opportunity
well,
for redemption.
Well, and look at it this way. You are starting the fall fun drive.
You know
but
what?
I just, but
that's
I, but
the
you
last
know,
you'll hear of it.
Yep, you know what? Yeah, I want to just say that I really want to celebrate what's happened this morning and happened the last 2.5 weeks right now. Let's not talk about the fall fun drive for a little
great.
While.
Well, you know, if we could get the electricity free, which may be if we get enough solar photovoltaic panels, we can actually do that.
We're always open to donations of solar photovoltaic panels as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the KSFR Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And we're going to go into our first segment now, which I recorded yesterday. We've got a couple of segments coming up, three total. And I am delighted that we have finished the fun drive. It went a little longer, but not much longer than usual. So we're greatly happy about that. And I am also delighted to be getting back to normal programming and have full focus on the guests themselves, and that's what it's all about. And once again, thank you to the listeners, and we always appreciate your comments. You know, you comment during the fun drive about the shows you like. You can always comment to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org by email. So we continue to be your public radio station. Cindy, Dal, thanks so much. We're going to go to the first our first segment. We'll be back in a little while. I'd like now to welcome Kent Kirkpatrick. He's the director of the play Rabbit Hole, which is opening this weekend at El Museo Cultural. And I'd like to welcome actors Mona Malik and Dylan Marshall. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, this is a production of Ironweed Productions with Scott Harrison, who is not with us today, but I had to laugh because yet another tense personal drama chosen by Scott. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say that he always chooses tense personal dramas. I think he chooses...
You wouldn't?
Well, he chooses good American plays.
Right.
And they happen to be... dramas.
Okay. Well, this one is heavy duty. It's a very interesting play, Rabbit Hole, in which we are dealing with, and I know you don't want to go into too many details here, but a terrible family loss.
Right.
And basically how people grieve.
Right.
And you are the mother, Mona, in the family, and I guess the central character around whose emotional complexity we, the audience, are pretty much turning.
Yeah, we get to watch the journey of this family through Becca, mostly.
Right.
Becca being your character.
My character, that's right.
And who is I guess we'd say sort of young woman with a much younger sister who is getting into big trouble all the time. The younger sister is a terrific character who starts out talking, and I think I think the wonderful thing about this play is exemplified right in the first scene, where she's talking about some trouble she got into, which turns out to be a barroom fight.
Right.
But you learn things little by little, and it just sort of gets worse and escalates.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, what's interesting about it, even though it is a family dealing with, you know... intense emotions and upset and turmoil, it's surprisingly funny, this play. Surprisingly funny. You mentioned the younger sister. She's a riot. She's very funny. And she tells a story about a bar fight, which is very entertaining.
Right. And ends up having perhaps a little more wisdom than we might have given her credit for.
Right. Yeah.
So one thing that I think is the mark of a really good play is when the dialogue shows us the kind of ridiculous things that we really do.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that in the relationship between your character, Mona, and Scott Harrison, who plays your husband, and the kind of passive-aggressive and not quite speaking the truth that goes on in many relationships is really well-developed.
Yeah, I really think he crafted a long-term relationship very well. You know, the sort of the marriage relationship and all the things that you just assume and take for granted, but you end up being wrong about, I think are very well crafted. And it's very funny, watching these people stumble through. There's a lot that's very funny about it because we take each other for granted in our own lives. And you see that very, very clearly between these two characters, between Becca and Howie.
You also, it's almost as if there's like, the equivalent of a talking stick and who gets to be mad. Like, first one person's mad, and then they kind of pass it off to the other person.
Yeah, someone's always mad.
It's quite something. I mean, I have, been watching plays here in Santa Fe for a long time, and I have to say, the Ironweed does a terrific job, and you actors and you as a director do a terrific job in bringing us into a world and actually, and I just saw the rehearsal, so I'm sure the play will be better, but actually holding us there to where I in the audience, my critical faculties are going away, and I'm just like, oh no, what's going to happen next?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. And I was going to say to you, I wish you would come sometime when there's an audience, because you always see plays by yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes bring the dachshund.
Yeah.
No, it's much better because there's that tension that happens when there's an audience in
right.
front of you and you
right.
really have to perform. Your character, Dylan Marshall, is a young man, probably about the age that you are, you're a junior in high school, who has made a mistake and is trying to deal with it.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I'm working on is trying to deal with that mistake in such a way that it seems realistic, and I haven't done anything like that in my life, obviously, but it's enjoyable trying to find something that I can relate with it, and just using those emotions.
How do you do that? For example, in the case of this play.
I'm not really sure. It's an interesting thing. I just kind of seem to get into it through thinking about past experiences that I've had that kind of relate on a small level, but obviously aren't.
So you use a small mistake and go emotionally there to make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, and multiply it to the extent that it can seem realistic.
And I suppose that's what all actors have to do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you start, and then what ends up happening in rehearsal and why it works so well, I think, with Ironweed is that then it just becomes about the space between the actors. It's not about continuing to hold on to that thing you used originally, but to be present with the person you're working with and have that space to hold the reality of what's actually happening.
And that's very well supported by the playwright. The text of this play is really good.
It is very, very,
very good.
David Lindsay Abaire.
Right.
Who is that?
Well, he wrote a couple of plays. Actually, they did one of his plays at the College of Santa Fe maybe 3-4 years ago called Kimberly Akimbo that Peter Zapp directed. And he did this play. It was on Broadway in 2006. Cynthia Nixon got a Tony Award for the role. And he's... young, hot writer. He's actually doing the screenplay for Spider-Man 4 now.
And we won't discuss what the concept selling out might or might not mean. Write it right here
right.
and now.
Right.
But it's a great, it's a wonderful play. Why is it called Rabbit Hole? There's a great fractal image on the flyer that you're sending out.
Let Dylan answer that. Because that sort of it's comes into his character.
Yeah, well, my character writes a story to give to Becca's family, and it has to do with parallel universes, and he uses a metaphor of rabbit holes to get into those parallel universes where other things are possible and anything is possible.
And as a way of dealing with grief, if there is a parallel universe, maybe things are better somewhere else.
Exactly.
Right, and just I think having the idea that somewhere else things are better opens up a possibility of even here, now, at this moment, you can choose a path.
There's a reference to the way grief and dealing with grieving is constructed in our culture that your character brings out, going to these grief support group meetings and coming back and being disgusted at the just over-religiosity of it and kind of the simple-minded religiosity of it.
Right, right. That definitely is something that annoys my character greatly. This idea that there's a black and white way to deal with anything, but especially this issue.
Can you give away that one line about God needing another angel?
It's a good line.
Well, you know, her favorite line that she hears is that God needs another angel. And her response is, what is that? He's God. Why doesn't he make another angel?
Yeah.
We're talking about...
You know, what's interesting... I'm sorry.
We're talking about the play Rabbit Hole, which is opening at El Museo Cultural this weekend. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, this play, I think it's going to be one of the great American plays, you know, as time goes on. But interesting, it breaks a tradition. I think we've seen a lot of American plays about very dysfunctional families. Death of a Salesman, Long Day's Journey Into Night, you know, those sorts of plays. And I think the family in this play is a very functional family. Very functional.
Yeah.
Because they are expressive with each other.
Right.
And you know, we as an audience get to laugh at them. And they're not intentionally funny, but they're funny. Their behavior is funny. And we see them mad at each other. We see them upset. You know, we see all the gamut of the drama, you know, from comedy to tragedy in this family. And I think it's a very interesting play in the how healthy they really are in dealing with this.
The character played by Scott Harrison, Howie, your character's husband, Mona, is just unbelievably considerate, especially toward the beginning when his wife is acting out. He just says, okay, dear, you go ahead and do that. And he's not being obnoxious about it. He really is, until he gets to his own breaking points. And it's very interesting to be sitting in the audience and watching where people break.
Right, right. And I think that goes back to something that what Kent just said. It's these people, what you're watching is them function. You know, and you're watching them work through and function and love each other and help each other in their own ways.
When you direct a play like this, Kent, I think you make very good use of silence. Mm. There's a lot of dialogue, and then there's a place where people stop. And at those moments, I mean, how do you use silence?
Well, a lot of it's in the script. You know, the playwright will write a pause or write a beat. I think, you know, it's also, I haven't really had to impose silences on them. It's very organic. I think the actors, because the script is so strong, the actors find those things naturally. But, you know, of course, you want space for the audience to be able to absorb things. So, yeah, you intentionally use silence.
What has the rehearsal process been like? I mean, when you were in a play like this, playing the role of a wife and a grieving person and all of that, I would think that the more you rehearse, the more you grow into each other as characters.
Well, that's always true. I mean, and that's true, too, once an audience begins to share the space with us. It shifts what the play is because you're sharing it with other people. And you do. I mean, the longer the rehearse, the better off you are. Because you get to know each other and just feel what's going on in a different way than if you just run up to it and go.
What have been your challenges? I guess it's a pleasure to direct a play that is so well written and you've got a cast of very good actors. What are the greatest challenges for you in directing it?
Not being afraid of it. Because it is, you know, we've gone pretty deep with this play, and when I read it, I thought, you know, they don't even really need a director. It's so well written. I mean, this could be staged by itself. It's so well written, but I think my job has been to continue to challenge and to push, and you know, to go beyond some of the first choices, and you know, I think that is the biggest challenge for this particular play.
Yeah, and I would say that you can't not direct this piece. I would argue with Kent on that one. I think when
Being
I read this piece, right, when I read this piece, it frightened me, which was one of the reasons I wanted to do it. And I thought, oh God, we need a really fine director. because it is very well written, but you need a gentle hand with it.
Do you ever come to a point when you're acting a play like this where there's a line that you would have liked to say a different way?
Then I'm directed?
Then it's written.
Yeah, and actually during the rehearsal process that happens.
Do you have any flexibility with that? I know there's sort of rules about sticking to the play the way it is.
We've followed the text exactly in this play. Some plays, you know, it sort of depends on the play. But I feel like this one is so well written that to honor the text is, you know, there's something there, you know. And if when you do honor the text, you learn what the playwright's intentions are.
Right.
And if you change those intentions, then you muddy the waters.
Dylan Marshall, Mona Malik, and Kent Kirkpatrick. The play is Rabbit Hole. It opens on the 9th of April. That's coming right up this week. And it runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 o'clock in the evening and then Sundays at 2 o'clock at El Museo Cultural through the 26th of April. For more information, you can call 660-2379. Thank you all so much for being here with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you.